Thank you very much. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Green?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Nolan?
Here.
Legislator Stewart?
Here.
Thank you very much. Can I have approval of the December 3rd meeting minutes? Is there any discussion? Do we have a second? Legislator Donaldson, all those in favor? Any opposed? Abstain? Minutes approved. Resolutions for February 8th. Is that today?
What?
Oh, right, for the session. For resolutions for February 18th, 2025 legislative session. I'd like to go out of order with the resolutions. We're going to start with resolution 33, opposing the establishment of a countywide landfill in Wawarsing, New York, and urging the exploration of alternative locations and waste management solutions. I feel like I might want to wait for Director Ryder to get here, so we'll take a few other resolutions first. So we'll start at the beginning until Chair Ryder gets here. I mean, Director Ryder. Resolution number 470 of 2024, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2024, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 205, Food Service, Article 2, use of disposable polystyrene foam to include thermoform plastic, to be held on Tuesday, March 18th, 2025 at 7:05 p.m. Just FYI, this is replacing the word polypropylene with thermoform. Is there any discussions or questions? Legislator Nolan. Would you mind using your mic, please?
Yeah, what is thermoform and what is the process that you went through to decide to make this change?
The initial legislative intent on using polypropylene was to try and get us to recycle more. Instead of removing certain things that are non-recyclable from the waste stream, for example, clamshells. We all know what clamshells are, and those are typically removed right from the waste stream because they are formed in a way that makes the plastic non-recyclable. So over time, I learned the technical term for clamshells is thermoform, and at a recycling conference in Cooperstown, I worked with the UCRA staff and others at the conference to learn more about what thermoform plastics are. Director Ryder? Do you have a mic over there?
So with the thermoform plastic, it typically, the plastic molds over something and that's where you get the rigid plastic as opposed to others that the mold is inside. So the rigid plastic is typically not recyclable again. It'll break, it's just too rigid, and it doesn't go back into, you can't really create something else out of it. So most clamshells are made out of the thermoform.
Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. So I appreciate that that might be a good product to remove from use in Ulster County. What I was told when we did the plastic bag ban and around the same time did the plastic straws and cutlery was that the restaurants appreciated it if we would address what we were going to address altogether and we weren't chipping away at this problem. So what I am hoping for in a process for this kind of addition to this law is that we would receive maybe from UCRA a list of the most problematic items and then that we as a committee look up the hazards and confirm they're not, you know, the problems with recycling and look at any available information on alternatives that are available that are not going to cause a problem for this the restaurant industry in Ulster County. That's the process that we went through to get the level of buy-in that we had for our prior legislating on this. It's been a while since we've legislated, and I think there are things to add. And if the thermoform is the only one, then I'm okay with that, with adding it. But I think we should have available materials that convinced us that there are alternatives, and that then we make that available to restaurants and others that might need to change. I had mentioned last year, I also think we should go ahead and do the seeker finding on this law before we go to public hearing on it, because some of the elements of the seeker review might be relevant to the public as they're bringing their comments on this. So is it comprehensive enough, and do we have all that information available to satisfy us and the public that this really makes sense?
Thank you, Legislator Nolan. Any additional comments before I add to that? Legislator Green. Can you use your mic?
I'm sorry. I want to agree that plastics especially, recycling is complicated, plastics especially, and I agree with the idea of, if there's a way to do a simple seeker, but get that information. I don't want to add cost or burden to, I don't know whether it's the agency or us, but I do think it makes sense to really understand what we're doing for the sake of the businesses that are going to be affected.
Thank you. Legislator
and everyone knows I want to maximize waste diversion, so, but I want to do it well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Legislator Stewart.
I think Legislator Nolan's request of the list of problematic products, and also if perhaps we could get a list of substitutes for those products, I think that is an excellent idea. I also agree that getting with both of the former, the prior speakers, that getting the CECRA might be a great and a smart move to go about doing. I also, my main concern, however, is enforcement. And I mean, exactly how is the county going to enforce this? I go to restaurants all the time and they give me a plastic straw without requesting it. Go to restaurants all the time, they provide plastic cutlery, they provide all this material, and they're not supposed to be doing that, but there's no one out there to enforce it. So I want to know what is going to make this any different than our bag ban, than our straw ban, that are look great on paper, but don't do anything in reality.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. I want to clarify that I do anticipate a negative declaration under seeker, but this would be material that would justify us if we are headed towards that, as I think we might be. In terms of enforcement, I think I think that we did have quite a bit of buy-in and change in response to our prior legislation. And while it's true that it's not universal, it's not true that there was no change. There are lots of stores that to this day don't offer plastic bags or charge you for them, which is what the law required. The cutlery and the straws, I think, are less well adhered to. And I think there's potentially a role for legislators and groups like the plastics groups that have come to this committee to basically do their own education as they go out and either go into restaurants for that purpose or go in to eat and are offered a straw and say and refuse it, saying we don't have that. To build in big time enforcement for these laws would cost us quite a bit. We can talk with the health department to see if they can do more with the inspections that they do. That was one of the thoughts when we past that initial legislation. But I wouldn't let that hold us back, because I think when there is an effort made like this, and especially if we do get buy-in from the executive office and do some outreach and education, that there can be quite a bit of change based on moral suasion.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart.
I just want to say that I agree with Legislator Nolan that the bag ban seems to have been, you know, effective. And I agree that, you know, you go into grocery stores and they are good about, you know, not offering plastic bags or offering recyclable bags instead or offering paper bags instead. But it's the straw ban that I just think is completely unenforced. And when I do go into a restaurant and they give me a straw, I always say no thank you, and you know, you should offer before, I mean, you should ask, it should be requested before you give the straw. And you know, I get strange looks from wait staff when I do that. But the idea of having the health department, when they do their inspections of restaurants, help us with enforcement of these things, I think is a great idea. I don't know if that is being done currently. That's something that I would like to speak to Tim Rose about. But again, you know, enforcement is a problem. And you know, I hope that we can figure out ways to address that more effectively. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll add a couple of things. Legislator Nolan, could you work with me on the next steps on CECRA? Thank you. I'll follow up with you about that. And Legislator Stewart, could you work with me on enforcement with the Skip the Straw group as far as a discussion after this?
Sure, and I'd certainly be happy to follow up with Tim Rose of the Department of Health as I'm dealing with him on other issues currently as well.
Okay. Deputy Executive Lavelle?
Just on enforcement, there is, you know, active and passive enforcement. There is notifications that are shared in the permit application, et cetera, with all the, with anyone the health department would be permitting. However, when it comes to the more active enforcement, there is the staff at the health department, because we are reimbursed from the state for their time, are prescribed to implementing state programs.
Right.
There's not a lot of latitude for other, you know, county initiatives. So there's a line that they have to walk as far as their time on those issues. But I think it needs to be a collaborative discussion, if I can offer that, including the agency and also the county, in thinking about the best ways to get that information from the public about where they might be encountering food service providers who are not abiding by that law, and then figuring out a way, potentially collaborating on the enforcement piece.
Legislator Green, and then Director Ryder.
And I know you don't want to go on and on about this, but I do want to say that I think generally before enforcement, I'm all very much in favor of enforcement, but to do a little bit more by way of education, and that's not to minimize the education that's already been done, but for example, I've been talking to the chamber, and I would invite Legislator Litz, who often goes to chamber meetings, to do an expo where you bring the haulers that are collecting, in the case of compost, collecting the compost, set the good, feature the good examples like Mohonk Mountain House and SUNY New Paltz and Frost Valley YMCA, to show that it can be done, that it's not onerous, and that it's ultimately beneficial and can be cost effective.
Thank you. Director Ryder?
And as we see the agency partnering more with the county and the Department of Health, I would just ask, I think what you've seen for successful programs like the polystyrene ban, which this is just adding material like a plastic bag ban, clarity in the legislation. So a ban versus pass the straw, which is make it available upon request. That's almost impossible to enforce. That's sending people out there and being secret shoppers and other things. Whereas like a ban, we can, you know, anybody, whoever it is, can walk into the restaurant and see okay, are they using thermoform plastic? Are they using polystyrene? That's much easier. So as much clarity as that you can put into the legislation, I would, you know, they would be appreciated as far as enforcement.
Thank you. Legislator Litz?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be very cumbersome to add a checklist for the public health when they go out and check a restaurant or a food service. They have a checklist they use for the state. They could have a secondary checklist for the county issues. Not that they're, you know, going to, you know, enforce it, but it would be a checklist that they would check off as they're there. It wouldn't take but a moment to do that. And then there can be follow-up after that on any checklist that provide facts that they're not following county prescribed law.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan and then Legislator Walz.
Yeah, I would just point back to the comments from Director Ryder and Deputy Executive Laval that if we write a law that says that these venues cannot use thermoform plastic, then it is easy to check whether that's there. But the straw ban, which was not a ban, is not able to be enforced that way because the restaurants are allowed to have the straws. They're just supposed to ask whether or not people want them.
Great point. Legislator Walz.
To Legislator Stewart's point about enforcement, I don't know, it was 20 plus years ago, I'm pretty sure it was the State Department of Education, it might have been the Health Department, said no smoking on school grounds, can't smoke on school property. Well, there's never really been an enforcement mechanism for that. In other states, if you, like in Virginia, if you smoke on school grounds and the school resource officer sees you, he can issue you a summons for doing that. So there is no enforcement mechanism for that. But over the course of time, I think it has, just by having the signs and whatnot, it has reduced smoking on school grounds significantly.
Thank you. I think I'd like to suggest that we change the word polypropylene, because what we discovered is that's highly recyclable. It's like the Chinese soup containers, and that is a very good plastic to recycle. So I would recommend we change the word polypropylene to thermoform today so that we can make progress with a better example.
I'll make that motion.
Great. I'm going to need a motion to amend proposed local law number 10 of 2024 as presented. Would you make that motion? Second. Okay. Legislator Donaldson had your hand up. Thank you. Yes, second. All those in favor of the motion to amend proposed local law number 10 of 2024 as presented?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Okay, now we have to motion to amend the resolution as presented. Is that right? No, the first one was motion to amend proposed local law.
The motion to amend the resolution on the public hearing to have the same change of
as presented. Great. Okay, so. It's not struck out with the thermoform to the right?
It's not my digital copy or on the agenda. It was also circulated, but what was circulated, I don't know whether it needs to be what was posted. Yeah, it is some places, but it's not other places. But I don't think we have to have it as presented in order to make this change.
Yeah, okay. And so would you like to make the motion to adopt the resolution and propose local law number 10 as?
No, I don't think we've amended it yet.
Okay, gotcha.
Resolution number 470-2024, setting the public hearing to set the public hearing for Article 2 use of disposable polystyrene foam to include thermoform plastic and strike polypropylene.
Okay, great. And we did all in favor already? No, all in favor? Okay, great. And the second, Legislator Green, thank you.
And I'd like to make a motion to postpone based on the conversation we had, to do that work of research and see if there's anything to be added to this law and resolution, or
can you use your mic, Legislator Nolan?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to postpone based on the conversations we've been having. Let us do that work.
Great. All those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain.
Was there a second?
Who was the second? Kathy was first.
I'll second it.
He's going to need that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. We will be going slightly out of order tonight with one of the resolutions. And before we take resolution number 33, I'd like to read a reminder on meeting structure. Priority is given to committee members for discussions and questions. Resolution sponsors are also given priority. Chair's discretion to open to non-members and the public, which we typically do open up to the public in this committee. Okay, resolution number 33. Opposing the establishment of a countywide landfill in Wawarsing, New York, and urging the exploration of alternative locations and waste management solutions.
I'll move it for discussion.
Do we have a second? Donaldson. Great. Do I have any questions or discussion? Legislator Nolan.
My main questions regarding this resolution have to do with the second whereas, which states, whereas the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, UCRA, has proposed the establishment of a countywide landfill at one of two identified locations in Wawarsing, New York, specifically Milk Road and Brown Road. I didn't know that to be the case. Is that true? Has UCRRA made that proposal?
Director Ryder?
So we hired Cornerstone to do a feasibility study. They had three tasks. One, they looked at the HydroQuest study and identified any of those properties that would be feasible. Two, they looked at any inactive landfills to see if any of those were able to be made reactive. And then active again, not reactive. And then the third task that started when I came on board was I asked them to look at any group of parcels that had an anchor parcel of 50 acres or more, so that we weren't trying to purchase 30, 40 parcels. So I wanted a base parcel of 50 acres or more. They identified a handful of those and then looked at their feasibility. There was five sites that came out of that feasibility study recommended for Cornerstone for further evaluation. Two sites were in Wawarsing, two sites were in Plattekill, and one site was in Esopus. The Esopus site is the Channel, not Channel Masters, the Hercules site, which was basically a munitions manufacturing site. There are still munitions buried on site. It's an EPA Superfund site that will take state DEC Superfund site that will take tens of millions to just remediate, and then the $200 million or so to create a landfill on top of that. So the board did not look at moving forward with that. The two Plattekill sites had their own issues, not only a similar resolution to this that passed in 2023 by the legislature, which essentially makes it very difficult for us to bond for a landfill. If we have an opposing resolution on any of the sites from the legislature, and we have to go to the legislature for any bonds over $500,000, which we currently do, there's essentially no way for us to create a landfill without having a supermajority of the legislature, and there was already opposition by a majority of the legislature for the Plattekill site. There was also some concerns about tributaries that were not identified. It was a very the study that was done by Cornerstone was basically GIS. They looked at the groupings of the properties. They didn't do hydrology. They didn't do soil analysis. That is all what we're in the process of identifying an engineer for now. So that's just a long-winded answer that no, technically, we are not saying that we are proposing the establishment of any countywide landfill anywhere yet. We've identified two sites, which we believe are the only two sites that are feasible in Ulster County to move forward on to do further evaluation. It could turn out that the engineering firm that we choose could rule out the feasibility based on transportation or hydrology, and there could be no sites left in Ulster County that are feasible for a countywide landfill. But that work needs to happen and be done, which is what we're in the process of doing.
Legislator Nolan?
Thank you for that. And I personally would like to see the results of those kinds of studies. I'm a little troubled that the Platico sites may not have gotten their full evaluation because of that prior resolution. I did vote for that resolution. And I see in these comments that there's a consequence of that that is troubling. I believe that it is based on what I know from the studies that are available, I think it is at least as likely and maybe more likely that none of the sites in Ulster County qualify. I think because of the pressure to have a landfill as close as possible, it would be better to know that that's true based on hydrology and soil types and so forth, rather than just on a desire not to have a landfill sited in the county. So I have thought again about my position from 2023, which was based on less information, but I thought good enough. But if you base your decision making without having all the information, then people can always say, but yeah, we could have. And you keep coming back to these questions. I think having the existing RFP get us an engineering firm and get this data, then if it says one of these sites could be suitable on, let's call them scientific grounds, then we decide if we want it or not based on the other considerations.
Thank you, Legislator Nolan. Legislator Stewart.
I want to echo some of the points that Legislator Nolan just brought up, in that I think it would be informative and helpful for us to make good decisions if these studies were to, the studies that the agency is doing, for them to complete those studies so that we can take a look and see what the results are. I would assume that the results of this study might rule out both of these locations. And therefore, as Legislator Nolan said, we would have a scientific data-based reason to say, no, we don't want a landfill here. And believe me, I understand the concerns that people have raised about having a landfill in their, you know, in their hometown or their district or whatever. But I think that having actual studies completed before we interject ourselves through legislation into the process would be a smart move for us to take.
Did you say would or wouldn't?
Would.
Thank
to
you.
Get the results of the study.
Thank you. Legislator Lopez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm not a waste management expert by any means, and that's not what this resolution is about. This resolution simply shares the reasons why I and the overwhelming majority of the town of Worsing, and more specifically the folks that are going to be directly impacted by these proposed landfill sites on both Milk and Brown Road, are overwhelmingly against this. And I think for the most obvious reasons. It's the environmental impact and the potential risk to local ecosystems and water sources, I think, is a big concern. I know that the landfills of today are not the landfills of yesterday. We'll hear that they're safe ecologically. until, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now when we learn that runoff from the landfill is seeping into our aquifers and contaminating our wells and our drinking water. There's concern about increased traffic on local roads that aren't designed to carry millions of tons of waste, which will you know, be a burden on the local municipalities to maintain and add an extra expense to the taxpayers to pay that bill. There's traffic noise. There's the smell of diesel exhaust. You know, the folks that live up there for a reason, and that's to escape the, you know, the everyday, you know, the traffic, the inner cities. People move out of the city and in order to get away and live in these rural areas for a reason, and bringing this to them, I think, is an injustice. There's the economic impact that decreases property value. You know, property value is going to drop up there. Nobody wants to live next to a landfill or buy property near a landfill. And then there's the caveat that that the county needs one of the major property owners up there to be on board, either willing to sell some of his property in order to make this happen. And it's my understanding that he's not interested in selling. So what's the next step? Is the next step potentially eminent domain? You know, and part of this is that I think there's been a lack of transparency. I know the property owners' concerns have somewhat fallen on deaf ears when it comes to the RRA. They've asked for meetings. You know, they've asked for clarification, and I don't think they've adequately gotten it, you know, over the past couple of months. And these are some answers that I think, you know, are definitely worth asking on their behalf, and answers that I think we deserve and my constituency deserves.
Thank you very much. It's reassuring to hear that we have so much in common across the aisle. Legislator Litz.
I mean, if this were a viable solution or a viable candidate, it's nice to get the scientific information and background, but to produce soil borings on these two properties and do soil analysis and do hydraulic studies is well over $100,000 of investment. I think the money would be better spent, especially if we do not think this is a viable candidate, either one of these sites, for a lot of reasons that have already been stated, as well as the fact that our neighbors in Sullivan County have produced a resolution opposing these locations that are very near their border. I mean, I consider myself to be fiscally responsible, and I try to hold this body to the same standard, but to spend well over $100,000 for two locations that don't seem to be viable, I think is a huge waste of money.
Thank you, Legislator Litz. Legislator Stewart, and then Director Reiner.
I had a couple of questions, and I guess this should be addressed to Director Reiner. I mean, I've heard conflicting stories that the agency, and hence the county, would be willing or would not be willing to use eminent domain to...
I believe that he said that acquire. You can't use eminent domain.
We cannot.
So the DEC has said that they will not permit a landfill with the use of eminent domain. Can I just make a suggestion? If there's going to be a bunch of questions or comments that I'm going to be asked to answer back towards, like it's going to be very difficult if multiple speakers go and I have to kind of go back. Is there any way, like Legislator Litz said a lot there that needs to be clarified? Is it possible for me to speak? without, like, if two or three legislators go and ask questions.
Yes, and answer multiple questions is fine. Legislator Stewart, would you like to continue?
I would certainly have no problems with that. And I also wanted to ask you about gasification and if you had looked into that situation. So that was going to be a follow-up question. So I'm happy to turn it over to Director Ryder.
Great. And Director Ryder, before you go, I have just a question. Would the studies ever rule out the property for being a unique and pristine environment in addition to transportation, hydrology, and soil? Just adding
so the language that's used in this resolution, that's not, unless there is something that the DEC would identify as protected land, then no. Like, we have a lot of pristine land in New York State. I would say probably the people of Seneca Meadows probably thought that land right next to the Finger Lakes was pretty pristine before we all, the state, decided to dump all of our waste on it. So I don't think the choice of whether it's pristine land. Now, if it's near a water body, if there's certain parameters that the DEC has, and it's very strict at this point to have a landfill, but wordage like pristine isn't in there. Just to jump back to Legislator Litz's point, though, to assume that these are not feasible. Again, we hired an engineering firm who did a feasibility, a very kind of rudimentary feasibility study. And one of the reasons that they chose these is that there is not a large population of people around either of these sites. Like, you can't site a landfill. I've heard people say, well, why aren't these being placed in Kingston where the people, because you can't. You can't site a landfill. There has to be a certain buffer between residents. And these sites were, again, two of five sites that worked in all of Ulster County. Part of the issue with Ulster County is that we have a lot of land that's owned by the DEC, that's forest land. We have a lot of land that's owned by the DEP, the city, in the reservoirs. And so that takes large swaths of the county out of being feasible. And so, you know, the Brown Road site more so than the Milk Road site, but I think there's overall, like, maybe less than 500 people in the surrounding area of the Brown Road site. There's a little bit more than that in the surrounding area of the Milk Road site. The idea that the roads will be the cost of the town, there's going to be a host community benefit. If the roads aren't ready to be used for landfill, then the agency, it will be on us to ensure that those roads are safe. The plan currently is to continue to have our two transfer stations and send basically the 15 semi, you know, tractor trailers that we currently have that we're sending to Seneca Meadows to the landfill. Not open up the landfill to residents, not have all the haulers go there and increase traffic. The Milk Road site specifically is on 52, and the transportation corridor to get there, 209 and 52, is currently a trucking route. And is currently used by some of our trucks to get to Seneca Meadows. So just some of those ideas. As far as gasification, we're looking at it. You know, Jim Taylor has been trying to get Taylor Biogas up for decades. The funding is not there. I've had conversations with him to start initial conversations. It will be a long time before that facility is even built if they get the funding for it. The agency is looking at doing an RFP for alternative technologies, which includes biogasification, includes possibly anaerobic digestion and hydrolysis and other things. The RFP is probably going out in the next 2 to 3 months, and we'll see what's there. I mean, ideally, if we don't have to use the landfill, that would be our preference. I don't think there's anybody on the agency board or myself that says that the landfill is anything other than a place of last resort. Our commitment is to divert 85% of the waste by 2050, which is the state's requirement. That's getting the organic waste out. That's getting the Reuse Innovation Center up and running, so things like furniture and bulky items and construction and demolition debris can all be taken out of the waste stream. So we're committed to a lot of things. Landfill is one thing we're looking at. This is the early stages. If I could just one more, and then I probably, unless something gets brought up directly, I won't really need to speak. But I did want to point to one thing that the current county contract with the agency has a section 5.04, non-interference with the obligations of the agency. The county pledges and agrees the county will not limit or impair the rights vested in the agency to purchase, construct, maintain, operate, repair, improve, increase, enlarge, extend, reconstruct, renovate, rehabilitate, or dispose of the system, meaning the waste system, which includes a landfill or any part thereof. I won't go on, but I would ask somebody to have legislative counsel look at this resolution, look at resolution 200 of 2023, and see if it violates that contract.
Legislator Lopez.
Yeah, this is a question for the director. If the property owner is unwilling to sell, is the agency able to move forward with the proposed sites?
I have not heard that the property owner is not willing to sell. I've had a property owner that has given me the name of their attorney, and that is, I think, the large property owner that you're speaking of. I have my attorney engaging with them. I've heard various things, so I've never, you know, we're not at the point of offering. So there's not been a sale that's ever been turned down by any of the property owners.
No, I understand, but if the property owner was unwilling to sell, would you still be able to move forward?
How can a property owner gauge whether they're willing or unwilling to sell before knowing a price that's out there? I mean, I've heard property owners say different things, and so we're not at that stage yet. I will say that the state enacting legislation gives the agency the right to enter upon lands to do engineering studies.
Can I ask it in a different way?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, can I ask? Do you need that property in order to move forward?
Director Ryder, would you like to answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably looking at the way the site is developed, it would be difficult to move forward on the Milk Road site if that property was unattainable. But again, until we do studies and know whether it's even feasible, there would not be an offer made to purchase the property.
Okay, one more follow-up?
Yep, go ahead.
Are you able to conduct those studies without the permission of the property owner?
So the state enabling statute allows us to enter lands in order to move forward with our purpose, which includes doing things like engineering studies. So yes, the state statute that created the agency specifically says that we are able to enter upon lands and do studies for this purpose.
Thank you. Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Director Ryder for bringing up the Plattick Hill sites. And I was at a meeting, and he did try to take them off the table. Thank you, permanently. But the Resource Recovery Board of Directors refused to take them off the table. This body did pass a resolution against the Plattick Hill, both sites. And Legislator Nolan, I thank you for voting on that. But even the legislators that didn't vote for it, they all agreed on the floor, I shouldn't say all, but most of them agreed that the Plattick Hill sites were unviable. You had a Superfund site and you had another site that had tributaries going into an Orange County reservoir. Makes no sense at all. They also, the Cornerstone, getting to my point on this, is the Cornerstone report also cites five spots, two in Plattick Hill, one in Esopus. They used to make ammunition there, dynamite, years ago on site. How could we take anything that Cornerstone writes with that they know what they're doing? Sure, they've been around a while. They picked three sites right there that are, you know, up to anybody will know that they're not viable sites. They were worsening sites. And also, when we were here debating the Plattick Hill resolution, all of us said that the resource recovery should include the host communities, I should say, in any discussion before there's talk of a landfill. That wasn't done with Worsing. Nobody in the town knew this was going on until it happened. There's going to be a host fee. They're going to offer, we're seeing millions of dollars, probably the village of Ellenville too. In order to come up with that, with their $200 million landfill, they're going to have to fill that landfill up with debris. That means most likely they're going to have to import debris in order to come up with that to meet their bottom lines and have a host fee. You're not going to build a $200 million landfill and stick 15% of our waste in there. It's just not a viable proposition. We should be looking at alternative solutions. Going down this path is a dead end. Everybody says that the two reversing sites are probably the last gambit that we have. We know they're not going to pan out. The town of Worsing passed a resolution, I believe, opposing it. The neighboring county opposes it. The community residents oppose this venture. We should pull the plug on this now and move forward with alternatives. Thank you all.
Thank you. UCRA Chair James Gordon.
Forgive me if I sound angry, because I am. This is premature. This is politics kind of at its worst. In however many decades ago, you gave UCRA the responsibility of finding a solution. You didn't want it. When I entered the board, when I got on the board 3 years ago, I said, hey, the county should take this over. This is not something that five citizen volunteers should be made to do. This is a stupid way to run a railroad. That's still true. And yet, the county has not taken this back. The county is still depending on UCRA to do this. And we are trying very hard to come up with a solution. This resolution is like almost kindergarten level ignorance about what's going on. There is no proposal for a landfill now. We are doing our due diligence as the law demands us to do. We have to look at these things. We have to. It's our due diligence. That's what the law says. That's what UCRA was given the responsibility to do by the legislature. You refused to take it back, and now you're standing there inside your glass house throwing stones, saying, oh, wait, you know, it's kind of disappointing to hear people say, oh, maybe we should wait for the science before we make decisions on this resolution. You people are county legislators. That should be basic. You shouldn't have to, like, come here and debate for hours something that may never happen because we don't know. We're trying to find out. Now, there is a report that we put out in August that has diversion as our main focus. Did any of you read that report? It was a legislative report. We haven't heard boo since then.
Please don't ask rhetorical questions during this conversation, please.
Well, then I will assume nobody read it because we certainly haven't heard anything from any legislator about diversion. We could use.
It's actually worse to make an assumption like that. Can we stick to the topic?
The topic, sir, is trying to solve the problem.
Thank you.
And we are not getting much help from the legislature, frankly. We're getting interference. We're getting dumb resolutions. We're not getting any buy-in. We're not getting anybody who's supporting us saying, oh, yeah, wow, that's a good idea. Do you know that we're trying to build a RIC and we could use some money? Maybe you could put out a resolution that would say, hey, let's support the RIC. Let's find $1.5 million to support the way to divert solid waste, which is what the RIC is all about, the RIC plan, which is in the plan that we gave to the legislature, that the legislative committee that I served on gave to the legislature in August. But it's been met with resounding silence. And instead, we spend hours debating this, which is so far down the line, it may never happen. The DEC may say this can't happen. Our studies may say that this can't happen. And yet here we are, debating something that may never happen instead of trying to find solutions. So yes, I'm very frustrated. I'm a citizen volunteer who is spending hours trying to help the county solve a problem that the county seems unwilling to take on for itself. And instead of helping, you're throwing bombs from inside the legislature for political reasons, as far as I can tell. So if people would really like to help, please consider a resolution to have an amendment to the county budget where we put $1.5 million into a reuse innovation plan. We have a site. We have a lot of things that we can do. It could divert solid waste. We may never have to get to a landfill. Why don't you try and be helpful for a change instead of playing politics? Thank you.
Thank you. Very wonderful study. Chair Green?
I have offered to submit a budget amendment for the Reuse Innovation Center. I strongly support waste diversion, and I agree with the 85% waste diversion goal. But there has to be, I'm surprised and I wasn't aware of that clause in the enabling legislation to keep separate. We have to be involved because we're the safety net. We, the legislature, has to approve the bonding for any of the projects. And the sooner we can get that Reuse Innovation Center up and operating, the better. So as soon as it's ready, I have offered to propose that budget amendment. But I think we have to have a collaborative solution-oriented conversation, enabling legislation notwithstanding, because that's the way a solution will be created. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Stewart?
I also just wanted to say that, you know, I think that we kind of went about doing this kind of in the wrong order. I mean, I think that if before any mention is made of potential sites, that we need to have that host community package together. And I'm not sure how far along we are. I'm sorry?
It's not possible. There's economics that go into it. Like, that's one of the last things. Why would we put together the host community benefit before even knowing who the host community is technically going to be? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And you're talking about 2025 figures in a 2035 world, right? Like, so I appreciate what you're saying. There's just not a way to get there. It will be done in due time as construction, if it were to happen, right? But to figure it out now would not be possible.
Thank you. Legislator Stewart, you anything else?
No, I take Director Ryder's point, but it seems like there should be some, we could figure out some middle ground that, you know, by saying the committee could expect to receive X, Y, and Z with specifics to follow, but I understand how trying to gauge something 10 years in advance is problematic. So
thank you. Legislator Nolan? And then Legislator Roberts.
Yeah, this is a very complicated problem. It is for every community that tries to deal with it. And I think it's very easy to say, well, we should do it this way or we should do it that way. One of the reasons I am not angry is that, one, anger rarely helps anything. It, as the Dalai Lama says, it gives me a headache and it gives me a stomach ache when I'm angry. And it doesn't create a space in which we can do shared problem solving. I'm not at all angry for a community that is hearing that their community is being looked at for potential siting to be concerned about that and have an opinion about it. Asking that community to wait for more data is a request. Hearing them while they're feeling that they don't want this and didn't come here to live here to even think about this makes sense to me. For them to go to their legislators and their legislators to bring it forward as a resolution also makes sense. And with Plattekill, I felt that there was enough science saying that that was unlikely to be useful as a site to support a political decision to just close down the conversation. If we close down conversations based on politics, then that's just people who can change their opinions, different legislators come in and you reanalyze it. One of the reasons that I think that doing studies, even investing county money to have those studies, is that if the site is going to leak into the aquifer, I'm going to vote against it 100%. And I think this body would likely vote against it. When we don't know if it's likely to leak, unlikely to leak, I share the concerns that all of them may leak eventually. we don't have a common ground. I think it's likely that, as with Plattekill, this rewarding site would have features that would rule it out. But I think it will help to have an engineer tell us that. So I wouldn't be prepared to support a political solution in advance of that. And I think that for the agency to ask us to give them the time to finish their studies makes sense. That makes sense. That's their stakeholder position and their charge, as was brought to us. So I think if we can all take some deep breaths and think about how we do this problem solving, and there's a lot of moving pieces, some of them may become irrelevant if we go ahead with this step. This step does not commit us to do anything. If it did, then I think we'd have to look at it in a very different way. It is a lot of money. And I take Legislator Litz's comment that way. It's a lot of money. But there have been legislators and environmentalists in this community who have wanted to site a landfill in Ulster County. They have been pushing for that for a decade. And to do this amount of further study to answer whether it's even feasible on an engineering level seems to me to be potentially very helpful. So I would ask that everybody bring their perspectives, but do it with real appreciation of the perspectives of all the other stakeholders. We are all stakeholders in this conversation.
Thank you. I have a little cue. Legislator Roberts, then Lopez, and then Director Ryder. Legislator Roberts.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Having been through this process in Plattekill, I know the residents there had anxiety, talk of people wanting to sell their houses, to get out before a landfill got sited. You have to keep that in mind. With these residents right here, who some of them moved from as far as California to come to Ulster County, jumping back to a few things that Chairman Gordon had mentioned. After the Plattekill resolution, I put in a resolution saying that this body here should take over the search for a landfill or alternative options. Having served on the board as a citizen volunteer, I know it's tough for five. I thank them for their service, thankless job. Thank them, for coming here, putting up with this. It's not easy. We should take that role over, this body right here. When the Resource Recovery Reform Committee, the first day they met, I went to that and said, the county, we should make that a county department, the resource recovery. It's long, we could do it at probably a much more efficient rate. People elected us to take care of the solid waste, not appoint five people to do this job. And also, Mr. Gordon's angry. These people should be angry, Mr. Gordon, not you. They're the ones that you want to stick a landfill in their backyard. So, keep that in mind next time you come up here and lecture us.
I'm not angry at the people. I'm angry at the legislature. I'm angry at people who are...
I'll be running the meeting, if you don't mind, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I can come back.
You can answer when you're called upon. See, and that's another reason why we should probably dissolve the resource recovery and take it into a county. Over the years, it's been one problem after another, you have how could we even negotiate with resource recovery? We have management there that's got a lawsuit trying to silence a legislator, by bringing a lawsuit against them. That's not the way to have a county department or agency run. We need to end this relationship, take it over, and move on, and take care of our own MSW problems.
Thank you. Legislator Lopez.
Yeah, unlike an unelected board of bureaucrats, we as a legislature have accountability towards to our constituents. And when these issues are brought to us, it's our job to bring them front and center and represent them the best that we can. So although there may be some who don't like the order in which this came out, that's to be debated. But I'm telling you, when I have phone call after phone call and emails of concerned
constituents that don't want to be dealing with this and are concerned about their property values and concerned about their about the cleanliness of their water in the future. You know, it is my job in order to do this. And, you know, and I feel good at the end of the day, whether it's a kindergarten, you know, a resolution or not, it's the resolution that the folks in my district were asking for, and it's the resolution that I'm delivering on their behalf. So with that said, Director Ryder, if you could provide for me the statute, the state statute that will allow your agency to uninvitedly start testing on the property owner who essentially you'll need, well, in my opinion, would need his permission to do so. If you could send that to me, email that to me, I'd appreciate it. And is that a state statute or is that under the Fifth Amendment, under the eminent domain? That comes out of the state, not under eminent domain?
Director Ryder, just so you know, you're next in the queue, okay? Do you want him to answer that now?
It's up to him.
Okay. Just wanted to thank all of the members of the public for coming out, and we've been listening to all the public comment, and I think you've been very effective with your information and showing up and sharing your passion with us. Before we end, because we do have an economic development meeting after this, I don't want to shut this conversation down, but I'd like Director Ryder to make your final comment and give Supervisor Howick a chance to speak if you'd like.
Sure. So the statute is the state enabling statute. It's public authorities law. I'm happy to send it to you, but it's the statute that created the agency and gives us certain powers and duties, and it's spelled out in there. Getting back to Legislator Green, it's not the enacting statute that has the clause about non-interference. It's the county contract. So the contract with the county and the agency specifically says that in 5.04. As far as bringing in waste from out of the county, I've said several times that I will be asking this body to change our flow control laws if we ever get a landfill to prohibit the agency from bringing in outside waste. And part of the reason I want to do that is because I won't be at the agency forever. And I don't want a future director to sell out Wawarsing and bring in waste. It would be a great problem to have if we had to take 15% of our waste and put it there for the next 60 to 70 years as opposed to 30 years. And so I think that we are prepared to build landfill if that's where the science goes. As far as transparency, I think this has been a transparent program since June. I did talk to briefly the municipal leaders prior to putting out the report. And also we've listened to the neighbors, we've heard their concerns, we've been to all of these meetings, they've come to the agency meetings. The fact that people are saying that there is a lack of transparency is just not rooted in reality. The fact that someone said that the county is the safety net for the agency, that is not true. The contract is very specific and explicit that Ulster County does not owe, that you are not the backdrop for the agency. You do not owe the payoff of the bonds. You do not owe people. There is a net service fee on an annual basis that is for an annual basis, but that does not mean that if the agency faults, the county is the backdrop. Somebody said county money. There is no county money involved in these studies. The agency has not asked for a net service fee. We have not asked for a dime other than Chair Gordon, and we'll talk about a resolution later about the $1.5 million for the RIC. That is the only money that we have asked for since flow control has been instituted. We have waived issues in the contract that allow no net service fee going back for 15 plus years. If waste is going to run into an aquifer, it would not be approved by the DEC. So it's not that the legislature would need to not vote for it. It wouldn't get permitted by the agency. And the last thing is, not only am I asking you to oppose this resolution, but I think that, you know, we should put Plattekill in the same playing field as Wawarsing, and I'm going to ask you at some point to rescind Resolution 200 of 2023 so that we can actually let the science determine the best site. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Howick, would you like to add anything? Oh, sorry.
Well, good afternoon. I really didn't plan on being here, so I'll try to make this as clear as possible. Mr. Ryder has come to the town of Wawarsing in August, talked to the town board specifically, not the public, and told us that they couldn't take the property by eminent domain and really wouldn't want to. And then within a week, got something from the DEC, approvals for studying this. And I didn't know about this until November when he came to the town board with the public there. At that point, at that time, is that better? So then in November, Mr. Ryder came again and apologized and said, no, we can take the property. So I'm getting really, really confused here about what sections and all that. I have the DEC, we're going to have a meeting with them on the 13th with our attorneys. And it's just not well thought out. This seems like it's just being shoved down people's throats.
Thank you.
There's the Greenfield Park area is a nice place to live. It's right on the border, like I've heard earlier tonight. Sullivan County legislature did a proposal or an opposition letter stating they didn't want it there. They also actually want possibly conversation with the Ulster County, in this case, UCRA. If Mr. Ryder has had any kind of conversation with them, I'd like to know that.
Great. Thank you very much. And there'll be plenty of opportunity to follow up with me.
But just for a little bit more, and it definitely impacts the quality of life in our area.
Great.
It impacts the values of the properties. It impacts the Neversink, the Beer Kill, which runs into the Sandburg Creek in Ellenville. Ellenville is a disadvantaged community. We have a lot of reasons why we don't want it.
Yeah.
And you'll hear about them in the future.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'd like to make the motion to postpone this resolution for 1 month.
Do we have a second or additional conversation? Second. Legislator Green, second. All those in favor?
Postponement.
Legislator Roberts on the postponement.
Thank you all. I'm going to urge legislators here, there's no reason to postpone it. What possible new information could you have that you don't have already? The people are here. They want some kind of finality in this. As one of the sponsors, if you are going to postpone it, I'd like an up or down vote so we can do a petition to discharge on this.
Legislator Nolan, would you like?
Yeah, I often will be persuaded to give an up or down vote, but it's precisely because there is additional information that we need that would let me know whether or not to support this resolution. I don't know that we'll have that information within a month, so I could see us postponing this again. I don't like to keep something hanging out, but I think that this resolution coming to the floor at this point just polarizes this conversation. I think that may even be part of its point. Whether it is part of the point or not, it is one of the outcomes of this. And I can't see a vote in favor of this helping, and I can't see a vote against it helping. So the option that to me seems to match where I am on it and where I think that the committee is on this is we want this additional information. And I am open to the idea of rescinding the prior resolution to get the information about Plattekill, because I don't think it's fair to get the information about Wawarsing and not get it about Plattekill. If there were any other sites anywhere in the county that seemed possible, I think that we owe it in 2025 to get the engineering and know whether that is a sound from an engineering perspective. I don't think any site in Ulster County is sound from an engineering perspective. I have said that for over 10 years, but I don't have any study or data to back me up on it. So we keep pushing, and I think when you push like this, the only way to resolve it is to try to get as many facts as you can. So I would ask for the spaciousness of the sponsors and those who signed on as co-sponsors of this to let this ride and let the agency go forward with the scientific studies if they are able and want to do so, given whatever conversations they have with property owners. And we get this information as much as we can in front of us. I think it will help us by potentially removing all of these options on scientific grounds, which I think would allow everybody to have a sigh of relief. So that's the reason not to take an up or down vote tonight, which will just have us repeating this kind of considerations in front of the full legislature, and I don't think will help.
Thank you. And I have five people on my list, and then we're changing the rules to committee members only after this list. Legislator Stewart.
It's a complex issue. I do know that Ulster County is spending $13 million per year to ship our waste to Seneca Meadows. That is unsustainable for the county. And Seneca Meadows may close. We desperately need to get the Reuse and Innovation Center up and running so that we could take and divert as much of those materials out of the waste stream so they don't have to go into a landfill. I'm in favor of the agency continuing its study so that we actually know what we're talking about and have data in front of us when we say this site is or is not appropriate for a landfill. I'm also in favor of postponing this resolution until we run it by our legislative council to make sure that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot with a legal issue in this resolution. If it comes to a vote up or down today, I'm no. But I think that postponing would be a wise choice in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Ryder?
I just want to point out that it is unlikely that the agency will have anything for 6 to 12 months on this from, like, we're not rushing these engineering studies. So if you're talking about postponing it until you want information from us, that's not coming quickly. And so, you know, you're going to be postponing this resolution a long time if that's the information you're looking for.
Thank you. Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Director Ryder, once again. You know, why are we waiting for the information? This resolution right here says, hey, we don't want a landfill in here. So it's nothing about the information. Up or down vote is what we want. If you are against this moving for, if you're for the landfill, if you're for the information, you vote no on this resolution. But we need these people need some resolution here. And I've been up here almost 18 years, and I've never seen such a spiteful bunch of people in my life. The establishment is really striking back now. You too, Legislator Nolan, I'm talking about you and Director Ryder. Just because I'm opposing the landfill Warsing, oh, let's bring the Plattekill landfill back. Go ahead. We'll pack this room too. I don't care. I got nothing better to do for the next 3 years than fight landfills. I'd rather be doing other things like talking about property tax relief. But, you know, we'll move on. We'll get this done for you. There's not going to be a landfill in your town. Plain and simple.
Resolution sponsor Lopez.
Well, as the sponsor, now I appreciate everybody's comments, and you know, I think that we're ready to move forward. You know, my constituency has spoken, and I would like to see this brought to the floor. So, I'm not a voting member of this committee, but yeah, I encourage my colleagues to not postpone it and move to bring it to session.
Thank you. Legislator Collins. And then it's committee members and resolution sponsor.
Again, not a committee member. I appreciate you recognizing me. Seems like there's two choices here. One is to do a study to find out if there are any possible locations within Ulster County. That would take about a year, according to the director writer. The other option is to just, for this body to say, there will be no landfill in Ulster County. And that sounds like what we're aiming to say here to some people I'm going to say here. If we do say that, let's be really clear and just say that. I don't know where I stand on that personally, but and the reason I say that is that what we do now is not sustainable. What we do now is send stuff halfway across the state for $13 million a year in taxpayer money and the greenhouse gases that takes to get from here to there. That's not sustainable either. So if we're going to say no landfill here, this body needs to come up with an option, something that they can do. We can't just say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, because there's nothing left after that. So we do need to have a policy. If we want to set policy, let's set policy.
Thank you very much. Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've heard a lot of comments and a lot of input tonight. Unfortunately, I don't want to see this postponed either. I think we should call a question. But I will bring up something that I brought up several years ago when we were touring around looking at other landfills and other ways to deal with our waste. And ironically, one of the sites that came out of this this study by the engineer, well, first of all, I mean, I don't think you'd ever hear me say that I don't think we should give engineers work. I mean, that's going against my profession. But having said that, one of the sites that was noted as a possibility was the Dyno Nobel site in East Sopus. And I heard that it's $20 million or whatever it is to clean the site up to be able to use it as a landfill. But we're not looking at all the options. That's one of the only sites in this county that has a railroad siding. We wouldn't have to clean the whole site. We could just clean an area where we would compact our rubbish. And we actually do that already up in Kingston. We could send it down to that site, put it on railroad cars, ship it to a site not in this state, to another site. We'd be reducing the cost. It wouldn't cost $13 million to ship it. We'd also be reducing our carbon footprint because to ship it by rail is a lot less carbon footprint than sending all those trucks across the state to Seneca Meadows. It might not be the perfect solution, but it is a solution. I think it's one that needs to be vetted and looked into because I don't think the current proposals have any merit. And I'm just opposed of throwing good money after bad. And to do all these studies, and I'm going to do it again, but I don't think is money well spent. Although you should send as much work to engineers as you possibly can.
Thank you, Legislator. Legislator Green, and then Nolan, and we'll try to. Okay, Legislator Donaldson, Green.
Yeah, when this came up before, and I misremembered, I thought the resolution for Plattekill was defeated. But I know there was a lot of concern about saying no to a specific community. In that case, we had a lot of information, and I objected on environmental justice grounds. In this case, I don't think we have enough information. My sense is the site will not survive the studies, but I think we have to do the studies. But I also want to reiterate my concern. If we're going to get this done, we can't keep making resolutions that say, not here, not here, not here. We have to figure out a way to get the best possible solution, and that should include maximum waste diversion and looking at other technologies. So that's why I'm asking to postpone.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's considerations like those brought up by Legislator Litz in terms of the site in Esopus that make me think we need to step back. I believe that the considerations of that site that were presented in the HydroQuest study are pretty compelling. So I would like some space in 2025 to go back and read the HydroQuest study, to look again at the corners, what Cornerstone has brought us, to look at the kinds of considerations that Director Ryder has brought us tonight. And I think we should be clear about this. The reason we have resolutions from Sullivan County saying that they're opposed to this, well, they may have their own reasons, but one benefit that I can see to them of our not building a site is then we might have to send trash to a site that they build. So people have different motivations for coming forward with different proposals. I did read the report from the agency, and I think it's great that we divert 85% by 2050. I think we need to divert at least that much by a lot sooner, but that will not solve this problem. The question is, what do we do with what isn't diverted, even if it's 15% instead of 100? So that's part of the reason you haven't heard from me on that, is that I thought this was the priority. So I would like a little more time to think about this. And I think that making this decision on political grounds makes sense for the local community. So I'm very glad for the town of Worsing, all these communities, to make their views on this known to us. That's part of the consideration. But since we're making a decision at the county level for what does the county do in the face of these constraints, the $13 million a year, the fact that that landfill may close down, what do we do? I would like to know if there's any responsible site to be considered. And I would not be saying I would vote in favor of it because I've always believed we should use the regional approach. I think there's got to be better sites than any possibly feasible site in Ulster County in our neighboring counties. And if it's going to take 6 months to a year to get this study, maybe we use that 6 months and a year to look at other potential options. Including the, you know, ship stuff by rails if that site could, it doesn't have water issues, but I think it has water issues.
Thank you. Legislator Donaldson. Okay, great.
Mark, no matter what site you pick, you're still going to have to do a study.
Yes, the agents, I mean, yes, we have to do our due diligence no matter what site we picked. Again, we've narrowed it down to these two sites.
In my opinion, Dyna Nobel, it's a mess to begin with, so you're going to have to go in and spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on this. In my opinion, I think we should continue with the study.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Did you want to say one thing before we do that?
Yeah, I'm just, like, I hear a lot of talk of policy. I hear Sullivan County came out with a piece of legislation opposing the landfill because Sullivan County operates waste in their county. If the legislature wants to pass policy and other things related to solid waste and do studies about different sites, then I just recommend doing a home rule request, terminating the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, having Ulster County become the planning unit for solid waste in Ulster County, and operating the two transfer stations, because if you want to have a role in policy for solid waste under the current model, then become a board member of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, not become an Ulster County legislature who, by home rule request, has asked the state to create the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency to do this work independently. We are a state benefit corporation. We get zero funding from the county. We are an independent, we're not a component. I've heard people say we're a component agency. We are not. The connection is we have a contract with you that we do solid waste, and you appoint the board of directors. That is the role of the county at this point. Thank you. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan, you have a motion on the floor. Is there any changes to that motion or second?
Call the question.
Before you do that,
Legislator Litz,
my motion for this resolution number 33 was made before Legislator Nolan's.
What was your motion?
My motion was to, I believe I said it was for discussion, but I'll amend that. My motion was to pass resolution number 33 for adoption.
I don't think that's acceptable.
You had a motion and a second.
Yes, the motion was Legislator Nolan's motion to postpone. Your motion was to discuss. And we've been doing that. I don't think you can adjust that motion at this point.
Then I believe we need to have a vote on my motion prior to a second motion being put in. Because my motion stands until it's voted on.
Your motion was discussed, and we did vote to discuss it, and then we did discuss it. Legislator Collins, do you have any clarification? Thank you. Legislator Nolan? Still? Okay. All those in favor of a postponement?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstain? The resolution is postponed. Thank you. Resolution number 25. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the City of Kingston as an Ulster County grant recipient.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to block Resolution 25 through Resolution 32.
Great. Do I have a second? Legislator Green?
I would like to second that. I was going to propose that.
Thank you. And you said all the way to Resolution
32.
Thank you. We're blocking.
They all deal with municipal agreements for funding that was appropriated.
Wonderful.
Through ARPA.
Great. On the block, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Who was the first on that, Litz, and who was the second?
Litz, I made a motion to block them.
Great.
It was seconded by Nana Joe. So now they are a block. I will make a motion to pass the block.
A second on that motion. And all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. All of those pass unanimously.
Chair?
Craig? Are you voting yes on all the ARPA funds for solar?
Yes.
He's not on,
he's not on the committee.
Oh, that's not even
on. Yes, before we leave, we need signatures on all resolutions.
Yeah. I also wanted to know if I could be added as a sponsor on Resolution 27, which puts the solar panels in the town of Marbletown.
You got it. Co-sponsor on Resolution 27, Legislator Stewart.
And
Legislator Litz? Okay. Co-sponsor on 26, Legislator Litz.
I'm already on.
Okay. Legislator Green?
I would like to be added as a co-sponsor to the whole block.
Oh, thank you very much. And that is all of our resolutions. We have forthcoming.
Yeah. We both went on for all of
the whole.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah, the committee on the whole block.
Yeah, yeah, put me there too, please.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The whole committee. Okay, we have forthcoming resolutions. Resolution numbers 81 and 82 are confirming appointment to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. I just wanted to let the committee know that I've been discussing this with Chair Criswell, and we're going to be either forming a subcommittee or it could be this whole committee to review resumes and have conversations about these appointments so that we can put together 2 to 3 recommendations for the chair for both positions.
Good. Thank you for that. Good.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all your feedback in the process, too. It helped Chair Criswell come up with some good ideas. Okay. Moving on to reports. Director Ryder. It's more of a, it's an upper update in general.
Right before this meeting, I provided Livzette the copy of, you may not have seen it in your email yet, but a presentation that I was hoping to give here. But in the interest of time, I'll just ask that if you just send it to all the committee members. You know, as Chair Gordon said, we are, if you've seen in the newspaper, we are at the point to where a budget modification, I think, is appropriate. We've identified a site. The board has given me some permission to move forward on a letter of intent for the purchase. Sorry, I looked at you because you're a real estate agent. Letter of intent for a purchase of a piece of property. We're looking at that now. Part of that, it was conditioned upon finding a purchaser for parcel that's up front. What we're asking now instead is if the county were to contribute some money towards this, the overall operations of the RIC, in the $1 to $1.5 million range, it would be appreciated. It is a project that started in the county legislature and is something that I know many people in the legislature think is important and should move forward. The property that we're looking at is 2 parcels that are inseparable. So really it's a $4 million property that we want for the RIC. There's a $2 million property up front that is an office building that we would take if we have to, because I don't think we're going to be able to find a bona fide purchaser. That's kind of what we're asking to help the county to help us offset. And then also we have equipment and other purchases. So we think 1.5 is fair. That's what our ask is. So I've talked to Chair Hewitt about either submitting a late resolution or working something out.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were asking if I wanted to comment. On renewable energy, we're working with each of the towns. We haven't yet set a date for another solar mapping training, but we are making good progress, and probably next month we'll submit a series of recommendations. We're also meeting directly with Central Hudson because many of the obstacles need to be addressed at that level. And it's been an ongoing and very productive conversation. And I want to acknowledge Jolanda from New Paltz put together an amazing, well-documented proposal for basically a corridor from the high school to the landfill along the thruway, New Paltz exit, and it also includes the Government Operations Center, which is sometimes called the Emergency Communications Center. And ultimately, that could be, if we can work out the details and overcome the obstacles, that could be in the range of 20 to 30 megawatts of power. And then did you also want me to do another sentence or so on Climate Smart and get that
sounds
out of
great.
The way?
Great. Thank you.
So the Climate Smart Committee has been kind of floundering, but climate change is not. And so I think we've come up with a proposal. It hasn't been agreed upon, but the idea would be to keep the five-member Climate Smart Committee, but have them focus on really impactful education events and actual projects that get implemented. One of the things we've done well over the past few years is to work with the Ag Society to do climate row at the Ulster County Fair, and that takes a few months of planning. So rather than trying to have it be a networking body, have it be a planning, education, and implementation. Most of the people are willing to continue on the Climate Smart Committee, but to change that focus and then have a way of including that in the agenda to the EMC to get the word out to the towns.
Wonderful, thank you. Speaking of different committees and progress, I think that the expansion of the UCRA board was a little bit held up as we were learning the proper home rule request procedures, but Legislator Green and Legislative Clerk Fabella are making progress. I just wanted to let you all know that we are still committed to expanding the board, and I think we're on the right track. Also, I put industrial hemp progress on the reports because you may remember there were two different budget amendments in December. One started at $75,000, but we passed $25,000 for research and education for the Economic Development Department. But the other one that I introduced was for $100,000 for soil and water conservation to get plants in the ground in order to do research. But I pulled that at the last minute because I found I didn't do enough research. The primary thing I learned was soil and water doesn't put plants in the ground and do research. Cornell Cooperative does that. So Jake, although he and his team are interested in soil and water and helping farmers around soil and water, Melanie set up a meeting for me about a week ago where she introduced me to Cornell professors and Cornell Cooperative extension experts in field crops and local production. And so I want to make it clear that the $100,000 was very different than the $25,000 that Economic Development already has. And that's not who I'm meeting with now. I'm meeting with people who could potentially help us understand the plant and the herd and fibers that are the byproducts of decortication. But what I learned from Cornell professor Larry Smart is that we can make a lot of products without decorticating machines, like paper and cardboard, for example. New York State has a law that soon we have to use New York State paper and cardboard in certain stores like dispensaries, and I think that that shows that there's a demand that Ulster County can embrace. So I've been meeting with Cornell and Cornell Cooperative because they would like to talk to farmers and get to know how they feel about cannabis sativa in general after they were burned on CBD plants. A lot of people were burned during that glut and desire to become very profitable, and CBD didn't work out for them, so farmers have a bad taste in their mouth. So Cornell said they would love to work with the county in some way to do research initially. Right now we're in the research phase, and so I feel happy that we have $25,000 in economic development to make progress, but I believe there's other progress to be made. Thank you. Finally, an update on zero waste. I saw that Josephine and Shabazz were here earlier. And the $25,000 for the zero core budget amendment that we created, it is generally open to an RFP for any company that would bid on creating an educational team of people to train others how to be zero waste. So the Garlic Festival is obviously the most successful in the county right now, and we would actually be able to help support that success, but we can make better progress in places like the Ulster County Fair. So I'm excited about the zero waste team. Deputy Executive LaValle, anything to add? Mm-hmm.
So there have been some initial discussions with Gary Newkirk from the Ag Society. You know, of course, a successful program at the fair, which is 10 days long versus 2 days of Garlic Festival, would require a lot of people to staff I think that's where the zero core kind of model comes in. But I think realistically, it's even more than what zero core is funded to achieve. So I have had some initial discussions with our Office of Employment and Training about some possibilities to potentially use summer youth employment as a way to train up a group who then could, you know, deploy to various fairs and festivals. You know, we'd have to look at there's different rules as far as their ages, what they can lift, what kind of jobs they can have, but we would be looking at
you don't like it?
which part? This, want me to back up, Herb, or are you?
No, I got most of
okay.
it.
Okay. So that's pretty much the update, is that we're looking at some other ways to kind of bolster the possibility for staffing, especially if there's a desire to have a successful diversion effort at the Ulster County Fair, because that would be a large-scale effort.
Very exciting. Thank you. Legislator Stewart?
I think that's really exciting, what we just heard. I wanted to point out that we do have a principal of a high school in New Paltz that sits in the legislature. That might be someone to speak to.
And also can you continue with the zero waste update, if you don't mind? I didn't mean to interrupt your point, but then you shared a Town of Hurley thing also.
Yes, I was getting to that. So I had Clerk Noriega print out the Town of Hurley transfer station report from the project that they've been doing there. And, you know, when the Town of Hurley, you know, got this set up, I had hoped that the county would provide some support for this project, and that didn't work out, and I understand why. But, you know, the idea was that this could be used as a model for other towns to use, you know, around in other transfer stations and other municipalities around the county. And I had a conversation with Deputy Executive Laval about this, and I also had a conversation with Director Ryder about this. And it seems like no one wants to take this on as a project to duplicate at the other transfer stations. So I don't mean to be putting words in your mouth, but it seems like this wasn't exactly a high priority for either one of you.
Well, can I add one thing
sure.
to that? So jointly, we put in for a New York State Climate Smart Communities grant where we had hoped to expand some of these type of projects.
Mm-hmm.
We were not successful, but we had a debriefing with someone from the DC to kind of let us know why, and we're going to reevaluate and probably submit something similar for next year. In my conversation with you, I just said it would be hard for an agency with a $23 million budget, right, to provide funding to a private organization to expand, you know, for the type of money that as a per capita that would be needed to bring this to other towns. It's just, it's not feasible in our budget at this point.
I see.
So, Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I also was impressed that this report shows a $222,789 net transfer station income. That's net, not the gross was even higher. That will cover a backhoe. I'm sympathetic that there should be support for this, but the idea of it being replicable, if you can show that it brings in this kind of income and can provide for its own equipment needs, it just sails. And then what place wouldn't do it? So I think there's, you know, potential dialogue about asking them to go to the finish line on this. They've done all the rest of it, go to the finish line and then come tell us all, you know, how it succeeded.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping to hear from them to give more details about what was happening, but unfortunately they
left the room. Mm-hmm. Director Ryder?
Can I just ask a realistic question, which is, I think Hurley did this contract for about $50,000. Why would the county or the agency, if the report is true, and I have not read it, but if there's all a $220,000 revenue to the town off of a $50,000 expense, why would the county or why would the agency need to provide any funding? Why wouldn't towns just jump on board to net gain $175,000 in a budget year? Like, to me, I would need to see the report to understand where the economics is at, because I think that shows if it's feasible that each town could do it and they have the money because they'd save it.
So I was looking for some guidance from the county as how you would suggest putting this forward to the municipalities, basically. And so you think that just simply going to the municipalities is the way to do this? And like I said, I wasn't necessarily looking for – I believe Hurley only spent $30,000. I could be wrong, but that was my understanding.
Yeah, I would say that you need to both review the numbers there, the budget, and then discuss that. But I think there's we're also looking at what pieces through that kind of shared effort of getting a grant in to DEC that – ACRA could do with the transfer stations, mm-hmm. or how could we kind of leverage some grant money to support the towns to do that. So I think it needs to be a bigger conversation where you're looking at like the economics of them operating the transfer stations than if there's the potential for the county and ACRA to come in with some grant funding to offer some additional support at the transfer station. But I think this needs to be, we both need to look at those numbers.
Sure.
But I think it's like, it's kind of not an either or. I think it's like all of the above.
And this was my goal, actually, was to try to just start a conversation,
sure.
to figure out how to go about duplicating this. If it is something we want to duplicate, which it looks at first glance to be to me, you know, I just think that I wanted to get this ball rolling and start a dialogue and figure out what would be an appropriate next step.
Thank you. Legislator Green?
Yeah, it seems to me that it would be valuable to send the report to the supervisors, Supervisors Association, and the EMC. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who would do that, yeah. but, let's get it on their radar.
Yeah.
Great idea.
And can I just ask Liz if she has another copy that we could perhaps provide to
Director Ryder.
Director Laval and excuse me, executive, county executive. I can't speak. To Amanda and Mark. Thank you.
Legislator Green. Go ahead.
I just have one item of new business.
Great.
We don't need to discuss it.
We're on new business now. Perfect.
I am for the future, but I want to point out that there is a group that has brought forward a landfill loophole or leachate loophole report about concerns that the leachate from our various closed landfills is going to wastewater treatment facilities that are not designed to process leachate. They're designed to process sewage waste and runoff, but not. And their report indicates that that inability is allowing toxic material to get into our rivers and so forth. So I think that is something that should be made available to the committee, and perhaps a representative could briefly speak to that concern at our next meeting.
Great, thank you. During the presentation, I found it heartbreaking that they said that there's not even words to describe how dirty that water is. Legislator Stewart.
I was going to say,
specifically deals with the town of Hurley at their abandoned landfill. They are pumping 7,000 gallons. And I know that both Amanda and Mark have been involved in conversations about this too. And perhaps we could get an update from them at our next meeting. But the town of Hurley is in a position where they can no longer take this 7,000 gallons per day to the Kingston water treatment plant. Mm-hmm. And now they are looking at transporting this waste water to either the town of Beacon or perhaps into New Jersey. And so it's, we're dealing with the same sort of situations that we're dealing with our solid waste. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the town of Hurley is in a very difficult position, and I'm not quite sure how this is going to work out. But perhaps we could hear an update from our experts at our next meeting.
Great. I'm going to put that on an upcoming agenda. We have 3 minutes for old business. Anyone have old business? A motion to adjourn? Second? Legislator Nolan, second. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, everyone must sign the resolution.